Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to this program about Fatima, a new episode about this saga, this pilgrimage that we are doing to Fatima, to understand what happened there and what was its significance of this one visitation of our Blessed Mother to our land. And what I mean to say in all these programs is that Fatima stands out among all the other visitations of Mary that are so many, but also it stands out of these three, Lourdes and Guadalupe. It stands out of these three because having studied both Guadalupe and Lourdes, and we did a program about them, you can see that Fatima is very different. There are many, many different things in Fatima that are original, very original. And it looks like Fatima has more implications in history than the other two. And so these cardinals, Regeira, the one that was the cardinal patriarch of Lisbon at the time of in 1943, he says it's not the church that imposed Fatima on the faithful. It is Fatima that imposed itself on the church. And later on Paul VI is going to repeat the same sentence when he visits Fatima for the 50th anniversary of the apparitions in 1967. This Pope doesn't have many visits. If I remember well, Paul VI visited the Philippines, where he was almost killed and was defended by Cardinal Marcinkus, the cardinal that later on had problems, financial problems with the Vatican finances. Cardinal Marcinkus was a big man, and there was a person with a knife that was going to kill Paul VI when he was in the middle of the people in the Philippines, and Marcinkus defended, grabbed this guy. So the cardinal, not a bodyguard. And there another visit of Paul VI was to the United Nations, and the third visit was to Portugal. So there were not many visits. And so the 50th anniversary of the apparitions of Fatima, the Pope came to celebrate this 50th anniversary, and the 100th anniversary, one century anniversary, that was in 2017, also the Pope came, and that was when the little kids, Jacinta and Francisco, were canonized. They were declared saints by the Church. So you see, it was not Fatima. Fatima imposed itself on the church. It is true. It's not that the church grabbed it and imposed it on the faithful. It was Fatima by itself. The Church does not and would never declare Fatima with the infallibility of a dogma, so that dogmas are somehow imposed on the faithful once they are discovered. What took place there occurred in an intermediate domain between the natural and the supernatural. Therefore, as everything related to matters of faith, it cannot be proven in a fully convincing manner to rational thinking, just as it cannot be refuted either. So the Church confines herself to declaring that whatever happened in Fatima can be accepted with a reasonable certainty. It is plausible because faith can never be rational or rationalized. It must, however, always be reasonable. As the Vatican Council defines it, faith is a reasonable obsequium. So faith cannot be irrational, because irrational faith is superstition. Cannot be rational either, because that's science, and faith cannot be proved. So it has to be reasonable. That is halfway between rational and irrational, is this humanly plausible, reasonable. That's all you can do about faith, and but this has to be done. Faith has to be reasonable. The Vatican Council always defended the faith cannot be, you cannot believe something that doesn't make sense, doesn't entirely make sense. Faith has to make sense to you. It has to be reasonable. So against those that thought that Fatima was made up by the Church, Fatima took a long and arduous road to be accepted by the ecclesiastical authorities and tolerated by the ruling power. A road where certainly, more than once, God intervened in order not to be ignored. Yes, God, because the three little shepherds were not at all passionate in defending their testimony. That's an interesting thing. So God had to intervene because the little kids, they were interrogated so many interrogations and cross-examinations, asking first one and asking then another, but so that in the end it mattered very little to them whether or not they were believed. They stated their testimony, but if you believe me, that's well and good. If you don't believe me, that's good too. That was their position in the end. But of course, they never give up on Fatima. And they would never reveal the secret, the third part of the secret, or the third secret, as you like. They would never reveal that secret. They were very adamant. They witnessed to Fatima, but they would not go in as far as becoming angry about it because people did not believe them, or to become fanatic about it. I mean, you are free to believe. You don't believe us. Well, that's what we tell you. You can also threaten us with killing us, as they were indeed threatened. But this is our statement. So it took a long time to be accepted by the Church, and we can say that it was the people. It was the people, voice of the people, voice of God, as the proverb says, who promoted and defended Fatima, imposing it on a perplexed Church. And the Church in all these matters is always perplexed. A perplexed Church, and prevailing against the insidious attacks of the atheistic, anti-clerical and Freemasonry republicanism. So this was the politics in Portugal for 1910, the king was killed, and then after that it followed the republic. But this republic, in the first years up to the 40s, when Portugal became fascistic like Spain and Italy, then up to these times, these republicans were very atheistic, anti-clerical, and they were Freemasons, many of them. So that's the reason why people think that the church fabricated Fatima, but of course you can see that it's not the case. The church was against Fatima already before, so as we said in the last program, the church cannot have two voices. So it was the people that start flocking to Fatima by the thousands from the very beginning. Without the people, Fatima would have been ignored and probably long forgotten. So the paradigm of the Bible that the ignorant confuse the sages is once again verified, Matthew 11:25. So, as we will see later on in the program, indeed, the kids were alone only in the first pilgrimage, in the first apparition. After that, the number of people that would come to the apparitions were in crescendo, and the last one, 13th of October 1917, 70,000 people were there contemplating the miracle of the sun. So it was, and of course after that, the pilgrimage in Fatima. So Fatima is nowadays important. If you go to Fatima every weekend, mostly all weekends, you find from May, from February, when the weather starts to be good, up to the end of the year, up to winter, up to December, people flock to Fatima, and the weekends there is always pilgrimages there, and so that big piazza is always almostly full every Sunday, and of course every 13th of the month. And the church in Portugal organizes many pilgrimages, national pilgrimages. There is this immigrant pilgrimage, there is the firefighters pilgrimage, there is the police pilgrimage, the military pilgrimage, the catechesis, the kids pilgrimage. There are all sorts of pilgrimages, and each diocese organizes a pilgrimage to Fatima. So Fatima is very important in Portugal, let alone the rest of the world. Fatima has become the center of the Portuguese Christianity, because everybody goes to Fatima once a year. It's like the Jews when they were going to Jerusalem. Almost many Portuguese go to Fatima at least once a year, and if not, even more than once a year. So that's why some people think, they say, Portugal is the country of the three Fs, and the three Fs are Fatima, Fado, and football. So Fatima is what it is. Fado is our national song, like a flamenco. Flamenco is is the traditional song. It's not really folk because it's very commercial. Fado is a Portuguese song, like flamenco is Spanish. Tango in Argentinian. So this sort of very traditional song, although without being a folk song, it identifies Portugal. The Fado is mostly from Lisbon, but there is also Fado from Coimbra, which is very different from the one of Lisbon. The one of Coimbra has to do with university students, It's a song. It's a sad song. So fado also means in Portuguese destiny. So somehow it's very sad. It sings love. It sings destiny. It sings tragic things. So Fatima, three Fs: Fatima, fado, and football. Of course, football. Cristiano Ronaldo, and other. And other players, Portuguese football. It's good. We have very good players playing. We can say we export football, like Brazil. We export players all over the other clubs. So, as it is to say that Fatima is really very important, and it imposed itself in the Portuguese church, but also imposed itself in the. Universal Church, and we are going to see that in the next half of this program, which I'm going to tell you about popes and Fatima. Popes and Fatima. You see, Fatima is also different from the other pilgrim, from Lourdes and Guadeloupe, because of the involvement of the popes. I already told you that the Paul VI did only three trips, pilgrimage trips, and one was to Fatima, and was to celebrate the 50th anniversary. So if he went there, it's because he considered it important. And Francisco, the actual Pope, went there to celebrate the 100th anniversary. But I can even tell you, that's what I'm going to tell you after a short break, that Fatima started in Rome. Fatima started in Rome. It was the Pope that asked for the intervention of Our Blessed Mother. And that's an interesting thing. The Pope asked for intervention of Our Blessed Mother. And a few days after that petition, Our Blessed Mother appeared in Fatima. I will tell you after a short break. So as I was saying, Fatima involved the popes, and the popes got involved in Fatima, and there was a pope, you know, the one that I call the fourth shepherd, that probably didn't want to get involved, and because he saw probably the other popes too much involved in Fatima, and although him was a very Marian pope, he has M in his coat of arms, Jean Paul II, he probably didn't want to get involved, and yet he was the one that should be more involved because Fatima, because he was the fourth shepherd. He was very important to for the meaning of Fatima. And of course, although he didn't want to get involved before, after his attempted murder in Rome, on the 13th of May, then of course he understood the message, and he read the secret that all popes had read, but he didn't even bother to read the secret. He read it for the first time when he had that attempt of murder in St. Peter's Square. So, as I said before, it were the popes that asked for Fatima. Benedict the 15th, this is the Pope of Fatima because he ruled the church from the 3rd of September to the 1914 to the 22nd of January 1922. So he is the Pope, the contemporary Pope of the events of Fatima. And, as I say, he is the one who asked for it. He is the one who asked for it. On May the 5th, 1917, so May the 5th, 1917, when the World War the First World War was still at its height, Pope Benedict the 16th, the 15th, not confused with Ratzinger, that is Benedict the 16th. This is Benedict the 15th. We are on 1917. In a letter addressed to the Secretary of State, Cardinal Gasparri, the Holy Father prayed vehemently for heaven's help, through the intercession of the Mother of God. So he wrote a letter that I'm going to read to you. And that letter, he wrote it to the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State was to send it to the whole bishops of the world for this petition of the Pope. So he says, in consequence, so I'll read only the part that refers to Fatima, I believe, in consequence, we call upon you, Eminence, so Cardinal Gasparri, to make known to the entire episcopate of the world our ardent desire that all have recourse to the heart of Jesus through the throne of graces, and that they have recourse by the mediation of Mary, the pious and devout invocation, and let it bear to her the anguish cry of the mothers and wives, the wailing of innocent little ones, the sides of every generous heart, that her most tender and benign solicitude may be moved, and the peace we ask for be obtained for our world that has gone mad, the aspired peace, and may it be remembered in the future centuries, the efficacy of her intercession, and the greatness of the benefit that she has obtained for her children. So, consider it done. That's what our Blessed Mother is. That is what the Pope Benedict the 16th. So I'm going to ask our Blessed Mother. I'm going to ask as a Pope, but I'm going to ask you, all bishops of the world, to pray with me to our Blessed Mother. And consider what we are asking, the end of the world, the end of the First World War, and consider it done. Consider it done so that we want Mary to intervene in the peace of the world. And since we really believe in her intercession, that's why the Pope says, let this remember for the future centuries, the efficacy of her intercession and the greatness of the benefit that she has obtained for her children. That is, this doesn't say the letter that she's going to obtain for her children, but it says that she has already obtained. So it's when you ask somebody for something and the person is not done yet, but asks you to believe in him or her and says, consider it done. So that's what the Pope said about our Blessed Mother. Consider it done. She's going to do it. She's going to intervene in the world so that the world will have peace. Yes, and then the intervention was 8 days later. 8 days later, our Lady appeared in Fatima. So remember that this petition was done on the 5th of May, 1917. And 8 days later, Our Lady appeared in Fatima, announcing to the Pope and the world her plan for peace. A year later, the same Pope, in this letter to the Portuguese bishops to reestablish the diocese of Leiria, referred to the occurrences of Fatima as an extraordinary aid from the Mother of God. So he asked to the Mother of God for help, and he said he considered it because Leiria was an extinguished diocese. It has been extinguished before. So this Pope installed again Leiria, and with the name Leiria Fatima. Now it's called Leiria Fatima. And he says that the apparitions helped him in deciding to reinstall this diocese. The extraordinary aid from the Mother of God. So he acknowledges Fatima as being the response to his prayer, the response to the prayer that he did previously. So this is all about Benedict the 16th that ruled the church up to January 1922, and is the Pope during his pontificate that these things happened in Fatima. Now the following Pope is Pius XI, not confused with Pius XII. That's the Pope of the Second World War, and indeed, Our Blessed Mother. The plan was much bigger. There were Our Blessed Mother, when she appeared in Fatima, she contemplated many other things that Benedict the 15th did not think of. He only thought of the end of the war, of the First World War. Yes, and Mary said that the war is going to end, but a worse one is going to start. So she announced peace, yes, but she announced that there would be a worse war. And I don't know if it's worse than the war, but the militant atheism, she announced the war, but she was more concerned with the militant atheism that follow the war. So to say, that militant atheism was even called with by that name a cold war that we have lived up to Gorbachev, when the Cold War stopped between the United States and the Soviet Union. So Pius XI, that governed the church from the February the 6th, 1922, to February the 10th, 1939. The first reference known is date January 9th, 1929, when Pius XI received in audience the students of the Portuguese Pontifical College of Rome. In the end of the meeting, he read in Portuguese the invocation of the picture of the Mother of Mercy, Save Portugal, that he received in that same day coming from Portugal, and distributed to the students. So Pius XII, the successor of Benedict XV, personally distributed holy cards that were imprinted in Portugal with Our Lady of Fatima. He distributed it to the seminarians. So you see, indirectly, Pope is already backing up Fatima. And at that time, the Bishop of Leiria had not approved it yet. But as I say, many other events, which I will tell, these apparitions, these phenomena, they have to be approved by the local church before the universal church gets involved. That means the Pope. But somehow the Pope is already involved right from the beginning. They consider themselves involved right from the beginning because they were the ones who asked for it, as I say, who asked for Our Blessed Mother to intervene. So, also in 1929, December the 6th, Pius XI again blessed a statue of Our Lady of Fatima to give to that college. So a statue of Our Lady of Fatima was blessed by the Pope. You know, these things, they all tell you that the Pope accepts Fatima, although it was not yet accepted by the Bishop of Leiria, of the diocesan bishop. This statue is one of a few statues. I don't know now the number of the statues that were done by this sculptor called José Ferreira Tadin. Now, you see many statues of Our Blessed Mother, and you see many pictures, and most of them, they are not the real ones. They are not the real ones. The real one, and you will see, if you receive our calendar for next year, you will see, receive the real image of Fatima, the one that is in the little chapel of the apparitions. That's the image that is there, the one that you will receive in the first page of the calendar. And in the page that tells you about Lady Maria in Portugal, you will see the other image that is in Coimbra, that is in the monastery where Lucia spent most of her life, in that monastery, the Carmelite monastery. And in the church of that monastery, you will see another image of Fatima. That's the Sacred Heart of Fatima. So it's a bit different, that image. But Lucia preferred that image. He liked that image very much, more than the image that is in the little chapel for her. But they are two different images, because one depicts the Sacred Heart of Mary, or the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So she has her heart in her chest, and yes, the hands are positioned in a different way. That is also known, the image of Fatima. So these are the two most important images that Joseph Ferreira Tadin has done, together with the one that was sent in 1929 to Pope Pius XI, and he gave it to the Portuguese college in Rome, to the Portuguese seminarians in Rome. There are others, I don't know how many, four or seven images that were done by this same sculpture, and those are called the pilgrimage images of Fatima. I think almost all countries have had an image of Fatima coming to the country to be venerated. And these images are not just any image. These images were done by the very same sculpture, that did the other tree. So they are also important, these images, because they are done by José Ferreira Tadin. On the 1st of October 1930, the same Pope conceded a plenary indulgence. So still Pius XI considers an indulgence to those that would go to Fatima. The same as done according to a newspaper called the Voice of Fatima, dated in 13 November 30, it is considered an indulgence of the 7 years for those who go to Fatima and repent for their sins, and they pray for the intentions of the pontiff, the intentions of the Pope. You see, praying for the Pope was something that was initiated by the little kids. They always prayed for the Pope at the end of the rosary, and we keep that tradition, at least in Portugal, that we say the three last Hail Marys, we say them for the intentions of the Pope. And since the Pope was always involved in Fatima, so it's important that we pray for him. And probably this devotion to the Pope, they were very much devoted to the Pope, these little kids, because you remember that they saw the third secret. And the third secret was about a Pope being killed. Well, we'll tell, he was not killed, was very close to be killed, but they saw it in their in the secret that they were told, the third secret. And this secret was so grave, so serious, that they would not reveal it to nobody, because it involved the Pope being killed. And they thought that the Pope would indeed be killed. One thing is a prophecy, another thing is the facts that later on the prophecy relates to. And as we know, the facts were a little bit different from the prophecy. But I will explain it to you why. It's somehow like the prophecy of Jonah. The prophecy of Jonah was for Nineveh to be destroyed. Nineveh was not destroyed. How? Because Nineveh converted. So something happened also that the Pope did not really get killed, but was very close to it. So see you next time to discuss now the involvement of the following Pope, that is Pius XII, and this indeed is the Pope of the Second World War.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.